So recording has started.
All right, so this is the November 8th, 2017 OEM, our board meeting. And our first step is to do our call to order. So I will let Brady do that because I'm actually on my cell phone and I know that you have the list in front of you.
Yeah, so I'll do a roll call here. So I'll just run the list of people that are actually, I should probably run off. So, Jit, not here. Robert?
Here.
Daniel?
Here.
Sherwin? Not here. Lou? Not here. Shamim? Not here. Brady, here. Senna?
I'm here.
Roberto?
Here.
Matthew?
Here.
Steven?
I thought Steven was here.
He's here. He's raising his hand on the little screen, so... That's the way we actually used to use that more often. But so he's here. Scott? Not here. And then John?
Here.
Anyone I missed? Good. And then we also have guest Asher is also here.
Mr. Asher.
All right, cool. Hello. So, hey, Asher, welcome. So we're going to now move to approve the board meeting minutes from last meeting, which was on October 11th. So I'm going to move to approve that.
And I'll second that motion.
All right. Good job, Robert, on that. All right. So the financial report, I believe we should maybe wait until Stephen is not just waving until he actually has phone access. So if it's okay, we'll skip past that and come back.
I think he has phone access. I think he was just waving. Stephen, are you on?
He is a friendly person, so, you know.
Okay,
I'm on. I'm on. Thank you. I posted the report. It's the usual story there. Up for grabs if anybody has any questions about it. We're not bringing in nearly as much PayPal donations as we have in the past. So we're kind of looking for more revenue going forward. That'd be
a all right.
Summary. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's actually going to be good to talk about with our raising funds section because I have updates with regard to the donation site. So we'll go into that. But yeah, any other notes about the financial reports?
Real quick, we had talked to Stephen a little while back with that new website on the homepage. I'll work to maybe more prominently display our PayPal link. Because it's pretty far down now, so I'll work on getting it back up to the top, and maybe that'll help drive some more revenue.
Cool. Sounds good.
Okay, then. So I guess we'll move on to unfinished business, and our favorite unfinished business discussion point is the revocation status. I say that with a grin. We're awaiting our letter of findings from the appeals officer, and it looks like we're going to have a formal call with the appeals officer. Or did that already happen? And if it did, who was involved?
Yeah, we already did that. I just put that underneath the item there, just to show that if anyone wanted to know. It was nice. Daniel joined us. Nice guy from the IRS. Since we didn't put up much of a legal argument, his findings were pretty sympathetic toward the IRS. And, you know, we've already discussed this before that it's probably a better path for us to go another route with a 501c. So I'll just wrap this up. I don't think there's really much new to talk about.
The only thing I want to say, being on that meeting, and you all might have already known this, but hearing the IRS officer talk, one thing I didn't realize was he was basically like, look, this is an issue with, you know, this is an issue with all of open source. So no matter who you would have been filing for, you know, this 503C, you know, it's essentially an unresolved legal issue that is, you know, open for debate in U.S. society. So I didn't realize, I thought it was maybe, you know, more how we were structured or something like that, but it's, you know, somewhat serious thing that legally has not been figured out and kind of operates in this gray area. So it didn't resolve anything, but it certainly made me feel better that it, you know, it was a problem any organization that was open source would have had.
If that is the case, until a legal decision has been made, I feel like there's a precedent to maintain the status quo, because we know that there are other 501c3s that exist that support open source. So I find it very odd that they're saying, hey, we don't really have a resolution. This is a widespread problem, and you're going to pay the consequences for our inaction or indecisiveness. It's frustrating, because I think that we have precedents on our side. And generally, in a case like this where there is an unknown, we should maintain the status quo until that legal opinion has been firmed up.
So one thing he said was that, first, I agree with what you said, and I don't, you know, since it's an unknown, we shouldn't have anything taken away until it's expressly taken away. One thing he said, he was like, because you guys came up for a review because of the missing things from the earlier board members, he was like, well, you know, you guys would still be in the 501, 503C designation. You know, you just kind of randomly got caught. So my question with those other open source groups is, are they in the position that OpenEMR was a few years ago, where they do have 503C, but they've never really come up for review?
I find it quite unbelievable from a legal standpoint that because we came up for a review, we're now paying the penalty. It doesn't sound like legally there's much standing there for the IRS to say, meh, you happen to come up for a review and we don't really have an answer. Like I was saying earlier, you know, if we hadn't reviewed you, you'd still be a you know, a nonprofit. Or I'm sorry,
I mean, legally, I mean, they have a lot of, they have a legal argument that we would have to fight legally. I mean, they definitely have a legal opinion with legal backing in terms of their decision. But I agree with Daniel. It's sort of a Wild West in a way where, and it's probably since about 2011 or maybe 10, where it became more difficult for open source to get the 501c3. And it really depends on who you have reviewing your application to IRS. And they all do supposedly get flagged now, and it depends on how strict they are. But with anything, you can always put legal backing to it, right? So the issue is they've already issued their legal opinion with legal backing, and we're going to they're going to make it official whether we like it or not. And if we want to, we will then be able to legally try and fight it or go against it. But there would be a tough, I think it would, or the opinion from that Stephen got from several lawyers is that it would be a very tough uphill battle that would take a lot of resources.
And yeah. Freddie, from what you're saying, I just want to ask, did OpenEMR applied for the designation before they started flagging everyone? They could just say...
No, it was even, you know, I remember because when it happened in 2000, I think it was 2010, I'd have to look when it really happened. Let me see. We have a history thing here.
Yeah.
I think it was 2010. Yeah, 2010. Yeah. So back then, even then, it wasn't easy. Like, you know, I know it was whoever, the person who did it actually tried to do another organization. That did not work. And then they made another one, and that was OEMR, and that did work. So even then, it was starting to get tough. But now I think it's become tougher. And it is the fact that we just got flagged, and we basically came back to the, you know, into their view when we had to try and, you know, that this is supposed to be an automatic, easy, you know, undo our revocation because we forgot to turn in a couple, you know, the OMR organization forgot to turn in forms for 2 years, but it ended up being obviously a lot larger issue.
Right. They did also say that they didn't like the structure of our board being vendor kind of centric. You know, that was another, I don't know if Daniel mentioned that, I missed that. It's not just the open source piece. The original application really didn't mention open source. If you look at it, the original 1023 form, they were pretty wise to just kind of leave that. Maybe they make one mention of it in the whole application.
Well, they talk about open source software, but they don't talk about a specific project, which I think is smart.
That's true. Yep.
Yeah. And at this point, I would say if we make another organization, you don't even mention open source project. Because once you mention,
well, I think actually that's a really good segue. So, you know, I think with the call that you guys had with the appeals officer, I think that was really good, and I'm glad we did it. We learned some things. But, you know, given the past several board meetings, we've talked about different options, and it sounds like really, you know, we can kind of start a new organization that's more higher level. Like, it supports what I'm thinking is open health and education. So, like, it's not necessarily linked to open EMR, but it's certainly going to be a part of how we, you know, meet our goals. So to segue, our next section of unfinished business is about a reorg. And so I'm wondering if anybody, you know, is also kind of seeing this same, you know, option, you know, that I am with, you know, pretty much trying out a new organization that's open health and more about education.
And, you know, just to point out, I think Mark was supposed to talk with us. Whose colleague was that?
Lou's.
Yeah. So we never did have that meeting. He was going to go over all the options. But I agree with what you're saying. I think, now, I don't know about, it's not like we have to drop OAMR. I think what'll happen is, I mean, I really think we're headed towards where we should make another 501c3 that's just global health and education. Doesn't even really talk about open source and that kind of stuff in the mission or in the paperwork, because otherwise you need a flag. And then we would end up converting OAMR to a 501c6, I think is where we're headed. I think.
Yeah, I'm glad that you agree with that. I'm just wondering, is there any opinion out there that hasn't been voiced about that strategy? You know, if you could just offer up your thoughts now, that'd be great.
Well, this is Robert.
It's a crazy form. Sorry, Steven. It's a crazy, another 30-page form, $850, and it'll take about a year. But no, I'll let Robert speak. I think it's probably the easiest path.
You can finish your thoughts, Steven.
Pretty much it.
Oh, okay. I think there has been, over the last few months, if you look at our mission statement, it already defined the idea of global health pretty well. Our mistake was to include open source, apparently. But I feel like there's been a real push me, because I've come into my own little soapbox about global health, and I think Matthew's made a pretty good push for it. I feel like it offers a good opportunity to really better redefine the not only what we want to do, but how we plan to do it. And it seems like in the community there's a real strong push right now for academics and education, as well as there's always been a strong push for global health. And I think that looking at what the community has been doing over the last 6 months to 9 months, that kind of taking a step back and building out a strategic plan for the future of the organization is probably warranted. I think it's a good idea. I don't know the technical implications of a 501c6 versus something else. We should probably have that meeting with Lou's contact. But I think that the time is probably right to have the conversation and figure out what our goals and strategic values are moving forward. I also assume that if this happens, we would not name the new organization OEMR, which is probably a good thing, because I've been for about 3 months trying to figure out how to rebrand this organization and get away from the OEMR name. So this is a perfect segue to do that. So far, I don't have anything super catchy. It's all very wordy, like the International Foundation for Global Health improvement or something. I think I told Stephen and Matthew, and they were both like, maybe 25 words as a name is not a good idea.
Just don't put open source.
Open what? I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't put open source, that's all. No open source in the name.
I think that's a great summary, Robert, and I'm really excited about a new name and a new brand.
Sorry,
Jit.
I just joined. I sent an email. Sorry, Brady. Just at 9 o'clock. I was running late. Okay.
Just anyways, quick summary. We went through the revocation stats. Really looks like we're not going to be able to get the 501c3 for OEMMR. So we're thinking about other strategies. Just follow up on Robert. You know, I mean, I did a little bit of looking up. Really, the difference that I see between a 501c3 and a C6 is that individual donations need to go through a 501c3 if you want them to be able to deduct them on their taxes. So a 501c6 is sort of, you know, your nonprofit, you don't get taxed on your profits. You know, they don't really have profits, but you don't get taxed, but you're really set up as a trade group, and you take in large donations from organizations and companies. Whereas a 501c3 is really for taking in the smaller donations from people donating. So I think we really need a 501c3 if we want to really keep trying to get donations from folks. So I think it makes a lot of sense what you're saying and it probably makes sense to get the 501c3 set up first and then convert and kind of go with the status quo for OEMR now until we are forced to not do the status quo and then convert OEMR to a 501c6. I mean, this is, again, we have time to think about this, but I think this is the direction that we're headed.
Implications of grants and applying for and receiving grants. Anybody?
So grants, I mean, I think from my reading, it looks like you're better off with a 501c3, but there are places like the Gates Foundation, they'll go to 501c6s. Some places will go to 501c6s.
Yeah, okay. The other thing I was thinking is that just looking at the trend of the board, it looks more toward a non-vendor composition than a vendor composition. So that may be something else that we want to weigh. It's just, I mean, what's the point of having a 501c6 if we don't have a big vendor presence? Like, you know, it's been a while since Shamim was able to make a call that has missed the last few. I'm not seeing that vendor presence that, you know, originally when we put the reinstatement application in. That's kind of going the other way now.
Well, my question is, Jit, is what is your understanding of the presence of the vendors? 50% or how much do you think, what do you consider a vendor presence? Like how many vendors?
3, 4, 5.
Well, on the call right now, I think it's probably just you and me, Jit.
Right, but out of the board, the composition.
We're about
of the board,
50%.
50%?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a gray line. Some people
501c3.
Yeah.
Does it cost money to convert to 501c or whatever?
Yeah, there's a separate application. It's like the same deal. I mean, it's another $850. Okay.
And we should probably use a lawyer.
However, we're not actually converting to anything because right now we don't actually hold a tax exempt status at all.
That's right.
So this isn't a conversion. Yeah, this is a let's get back into tax exempt status.
We would have to.
Yeah, and I guess
that's one thing that would have to happen. Before we apply to be a 501c6, we would have to say to the IRS, all right, we're not going to court. You know, they're going to send us a letter. We have 90 days to then appeal to one of the courts. At that point, we would either let that time expire and not do anything, it'd be over, or just say, you know, we're done and then go in another direction.
Okay, well, here's my thoughts because we have actually a lot to talk about today, so I think we should move on. But honestly, this was super optimistic sounding because, you know, the past several board meetings we've been kind of figuring out our options and it's been kind of negative, you know, in terms of what we actually have in our hands. So this is amazing. I'm super excited to get a new name and a new brand and have the opportunity to get it some grant money finally. So everybody start thinking about what that new organization will mean to you and just we'll start to crystallize the division as we go. But yeah, good stuff. And of course, we still have a lot of questions, and I would love to see if we can get Mark Lou's lawyer contact involved, because we have to still consider that, you know, what are we doing with OEMR and at the end of the day. But anyway, let's move on.
I got one thing to say. So Mark is basically, he's going to give us a couple of facts, but he's basically recommending us to get a lawyer in the end. So I think probably to get things moving, it may make sense for Stephen, maybe me and you in touch base about the lawyers that you contacted for the, for what we did before, to see if there are any good ones that may be helpful for us for the restructuring.
Yeah.
And so we'll at least maybe get some more information on that before the next meeting, just to get things moving forward.
Okay.
Yeah. Mark was an accountant, right? He wasn't a
lawyer. And really, I mean, I saw some of he gave us a lot of information via email, but at the end of the day, his final recommendation was always get a lawyer to do this, that kind of thing. So I think we should at least follow that and see where we go.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. All right. So I'm really excited to hear an update from John and Asher on the phone here about everything OpenEMR Cloud. So if you guys could give an update on, you know, not only just OpenEMR Cloud and our product line, but the greater AWS partnership plan and everything around that.
John, do you want to lead off?
Go ahead.
No, I asked you if you want to lead off. I don't really have I'm not really prepared to give a presentation.
Okay, no worries. So this is John, and OpenEMR Cloud, yeah. So I don't know how many people have seen. There's a really excellent visualization or document that kind of lays it all out, what OpenEMR Cloud is, and that is a product comparison guide. And I think many of you have seen that. If not, that's available by, you know, most of us can point you to it. It's on the wiki. So let's see, we submitted one to Marketplace, AWS Marketplace. We'll hope to hear about that soon. And really what a lot of my time is involved with is working on finding a couple of reference accounts. So the goal is to get those done by the end of the year, working really hard every day to on some sales opportunities to try to convert them into reference accounts. So we hope to have those two done by the end of the year. And reason that timing is valuable is because there's 2018 funding opportunity from Amazon Web Services. So if we can get those reference accounts, we might get some marketing funding for 2018. And so that's very interesting because that would generate a lot of OpenEMR business.
Yeah. And this is Jit. And John, I appreciate what you've said. I'll just go ahead and divulge that there's no news yet, but I'm working with John. I had, like I said in the last call, I had some few people in mind, and so we're trying to see if those at least two people can be our reference accounts that are needed. So when that happens, we don't want to put a cart before the horse, but we're working on that right now.
Yes, Jim, thank you very much for all your help on that.
Yeah, so this is great. I remember when this was just like a weekend project. OpenEMR Cloud now has a proper team and a vision. So this is amazing. John, do you mind just spending a minute or two talking about our upcoming release of OpenEMR Cloud Express?
So yeah, we're waiting to hear back from. So when Matthew talks about release of it, we're talking about release of what's called a marketplace that Amazon Web Services runs. It's a place where you go to find cloud services to meet your needs. And so a lot of great advantages for us to release on that platform. And so we submitted that a couple of days ago, hope to hear back soon. And then we expect that to go through, and then expect to follow that up very quickly with a second version, which is called OpenEMR Cloud Standard, which is a HIPAA compliant or HIPAA eligible version. So hope to get that on Marketplace as soon as possible. Certainly by the end of the year. Certainly, actually within a couple of weeks, I hope. What do you think about that, Asher? Is that doable?
As far as I know, Right now, the software is done. I mean, nobody has yet come to me and told me why the software is not done. So okay. pending breaking bugs, the clock is really running. The clock is either we need to submit things to Amazon or Amazon needs to take action on the things we've submitted.
Okay, so that's why Matthew and I are having a conference call like either Thursday or Friday, right, Matthew, to move ahead on the QA of that product, right?
Yes, sir. I just got home a bit ago, so I need to respond to your email, so do appreciate your patience there. I'm thinking Friday we'll have a call, and anybody that's interested, you know, right now it's just myself, Daniel, and Andre doing the QA, but John's going to be joining that initiative. If anybody else is interested, just hit me up, and we'll get you on there. And then thank you so much. Just to really give a high-level overview, because I realize not everybody on the call is following this, and there's probably new terminology being thrown around. We are calling OpenEMR Cloud Express kind of a non-HIPAA eligible product that is, it's very affordable. So anybody that you've ever talked to or encountered on the forums that uses shared hosting and had to deal with all the problems that were around shared hosting will be able to use this instead, and it's kind of more blessed by our community. And then the next version up is actually OpenEMR Cloud Standard, which John mentioned is a little bit more beefy. It costs a little bit more, and it might be HIPAA eligible. And then, of course, we already have an existing version. Oh.
Yeah, so OpenEMR Standard is not, you said it might be HIPAA eligible? No, it's definitely, as far as I understand, from Azure, this is 100% HIPAA eligible. So I want to make sure.
OpenEMR Standard breaks no rules that I understand. Now, keep in mind that when I say something is HIPAA eligible, that I don't know how valuable that claim is, because I'm an e-commerce guy, and no HIPAA people have come to me and given me a list of thou shalt and thou shalt nots. I've obeyed the security rule as best I understand it, but...
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, so I misspoke. So anyway, so we have the Express, which is kind of for the people that are using shared hosting, low resource areas. We have Standard, which is going to be HIPAA eligible. That's kind of a middle of the road solution, does a lot, and it's reasonably affordable. And then we have the full stack solution, which is already out there. And that's really a serious version of the product line that really scales and will be used in America most likely. So I just wanted to kind of take a step back and give everybody an overview of these different products from a very high level.
And with that, Matthew, I just want to mention, and just specifically Asher, because you're on this call, I tried to launch at Full Stack North Virginia in my account today, and it was very slick. Like, I clicked on it, it went right to my account, it had the fields for me to fill in, it could show me costs, but I launched it, and the thing rolled back after like a minute or two. So it's fast in telling me, but it kept rolling back. Might be a problem with my account, but that's one thing I wanted to ask, and I don't need an answer now, but.
Who was that?
Hey, that was Daniel.
Okay.
Oh, don't worry, Daniel. I bet I already know what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have an awesome team behind this now. So, you know, thank you, Asher, for your support there. I've already seen you in action helping community members out in the wild with it. So this is good. All right. Well, if there's any other, is there any other update on AWS and OpenEMR Cloud, John and Asher, or are we about ready to move on?
No, I was mostly here to answer questions.
Okay.
No, I think we're all excited to move on with the QA. So thank you, Matthew.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. So, all right, Robert, if you want to give an update about the VCU health hack, I think you have some exciting news about the place that your team got and some other awesome outcomes from the event.
Definitely. So the health hacks event was over the weekend, and it was in Richmond, Virginia. It was 24, 28-ish hours, very intense. There were about 120 students there from the College of Engineering, the College of Medicine, Computer Science, some microbiology students, that type of thing. We were one of maybe 15 different challenges that a team could accept. We had, I want to say, anywhere from 6 to 9 teams working on or using our challenge as a base to build their product or their idea. That ranged from anything from literally attacking our direct challenge to trying to ingest into or put into OpenEMR analytical data. That was what were they doing exactly? They wanted to generate sample data and get a large test sample to learn how to better trigger sepsis alerts for the pediatric population. The theme of the event was focused on pediatrics and global health. And so one group successfully generated some sample data and was able to look at trends and analysis and things that John probably understands better than I do, and try to predict the likelihood of a sepsis alert being triggered for a pediatric patient. Sepsis is just a blood infection that can cause some serious damage if not caught early. What's impressive is that they were actually able to take that data that they had generated, run their analysis, and inject it right into OpenEMR without me doing much of anything. I stopped by and they're like, hey, check this out. We've got vital sign information pushing into OpenEMR. I plan on reaching out to that team and seeing if they would love to help some of our demo data. I think that they could probably build our demo data much better than we could, like my demo data Python thing. And then I'll put them in contact with John because they're you know, all about analytics and looking at these big trends. Probably good to have some clinical people in there too. We had another group I spent a lot of time with, they were trying to take data from like an Android phone, a Samsung phone that could do pulse ox and some other vital signs and push it into OpenEMR. They were not able to do that. The S-Health API for Samsung is fairly locked down. But what they were able to do is take a Dragon board, which is kind of like an Arduino or a Raspberry Pi. It's basically just this, it's the size of a credit card. It's got a little processor on it, a couple USB ports, some Wi-Fi, GPS, and you can install Linux or Windows or whatever you may want to do with it. And it's relatively inexpensive. And they were able to take that, and we got OpenEMR running on it. And I worked with them to write a little Python server that you could essentially push data to that Python server and then inject it into the vital signs form. It was not elegant, but hackathons are not meant to be elegant. It was more of a proof that we could actually push data from an Android app to a listening server and get it into OpenEMR that in a way that the UI actually recognizes so the clinician can view some trends. The most interesting challenge was by a group that went after the challenge exactly as it was written. They didn't really reach out to me at all until the end of the event where they showed me what they had. They built I think they used a Raspberry Pi. They took some temperature sensors, a pulse oximeter, which will measure your oxygenation, and temperature, pulse ox, and heart rate. So they were able to take your pulse. They drew a 3D CAD design and had a wristband type thing printed. You put it on your wrist. It'll check your how well you're essentially oxygenating your red blood cells, which is important for, well, clinically, it's significant. All the vital signs are clinically significant. This isn't a biology lesson. But they were able to take that and emit the data. We didn't get it into OpenEMR, but essentially because on a Raspberry Pi or an Arduino, there's a Wi-Fi module built on, they could easily take that and push it out to OpenEMR and ingest that. That has very significant inpatient use. Most hospitals in the U.S. have vital sign machines in every patient's room. And to have that outside of the U.S. would be a tremendous investment. So to be able to basically, you know, take $78 worth of parts and get me a working prototype that successfully generated all of the data we were looking for. They were able to somehow derive blood pressure, and I don't think clinically it would be valid. But they actually had a plan to generate actual blood pressure based off of the some device that they were going to build into the watch at the wrist. Really interesting stuff. They ended up winning second place overall, and as far as I could tell, there were some politics involved. Otherwise, I think based on pure numbers, they outright won the competition, but I think there were some politics in play, and so they took second. It was 100% worth the investment that we made. I can say without a doubt, we have generated some great contacts. We have access to all the resumes, developed some really good relationships. And I think that I'm going to try to bring this event down to Orlando next year. But I think the groups that worked on our project, some of them were just incredibly passionate about open source and helping people outside of the US. And I foresee some really interesting open source hardware coming down the pipe in the near future. So one of the team that worked on the Dragon Board actually won a little mini challenge, and they all won Dragon Boards. And one of them pulled me aside and said, listen, I'm never going to use this. I'm a biology major, but I really believe in your product and I want to donate it to OpenEMR so you guys can continue to do your stuff. So I actually have on my desk now a little Dragon Board that I want to play with and see, you know, how far can we push it, and you know, what can we do with something like that. I think Matthew may have some hardware as well, and perhaps Dr. Miller or Malay down in Brazil. Anyway, sorry to just ramble on. I could talk about it all day, but it was completely worth the investment. I'm really glad we did it. We were probably the most popular sponsor there, I want to say. But people love the idea of open source EMRs. So I'm going to continue to make those connections, and we're going to write about it on the blog. Definitely a very worthwhile investment.
Yeah, well, thank awesome. You so much for thank that you. Summary. Yeah, thank you so much, Robert. I think that was a huge success. And one thing that you might have forgot to mention was we already have a whole bunch of people that just signed on to our chat. So we might even get some folks from that conference to continue the development efforts. So that was really yes. exciting to see.
Yes, I created a channel on the chat specifically for the hackathon so that if I wasn't with a particular group that they could reach out. Also, now they're integrated into our ecosystem, and they're, you know, kind of capture them into the system. So I know at least one group is on the forums. A couple other people were on the chats during the event. So very briefly, Dr. Joyce Boyd drove down from DC for both days. Tremendous help. I don't think it would have been nearly as good had she not been there. And I kind of wish I realized where Sherwin was in relation to the event, because he's only about an hour away. So we could have essentially had an OpenEMR team there and learned for next time, have a table, bring in as many people as we can. But Joyce was phenomenal, tremendous help. Really, really glad she came. So.
Well, thank you again. And, you know, next year or whatever, our next hackathon event will be even greater. So this is just super exciting. So I'm going to move on. And this is actually my item. It's the Wonka South Asia Region Conference in Nepal. That's coming up in the end of this month, near the end of this month, the 25th and 26th. I want to thank Brady, Robert, and Stephen and Joyce for giving some really nice feedback on my presentation. So just in case you weren't on previous calls for our board meeting, the board okayed me to fly to Nepal and give a presentation on OpenEMR and some of the development efforts we're doing. And it's a healthcare conference, so I'll probably be one of the only non-doctor, you know, nerdy types there, but it's going to be really exciting to meet people and learn more about, you know, the needs of the South Asia region. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And actually Andre, who's getting married in Brazil, will be joining the presentation via video, actually, because he and I wrote the abstract and did all the work behind the presentation research. So he's going to be joining for the last handful of slides via web link. And so yeah, I will have everything recorded and we'll put up press and post it on social media, but, you know, just thanks again for allowing for me to go and do this exciting journey. So I'm gonna hopefully come back with some great news like Robert did. All right, well, next up is marketing. I'm sure everybody saw Alfonso worked with our community to really come up with a great story about his company, High Tech Compliance, and how they were able to keep the doctors of Puerto Rico in check because the open EMR instances he set up were just so hardened and resistant to the crazy ecosystem at the time. So if you haven't read that, it's on our blog, and it's really inspiring. It's about Hurricane Maria, of course. I wanted to open the floor to anybody that wanted to talk about marketing initiatives, new or existing. So if you have anything you want to add at this time, please do so.
Hey, this is Jit, and I'm excited to hear about the hackathon and Matthew's upcoming trip to Nepal and all these things. And, you know, sometimes we go to hymns and all that. And I know we have a blog. I know we have social media, but I was just looking at the website. Is there any room or is there any interest of putting events or news on our website as another medium to sort of advertise to the greater community, to the public, what the open EMR community is doing and our accomplishments? Is there any interest or room in the website? I mean, there's all these things on the website, and I'm just kind of looking, and there's links to the forum. There's all kinds of links, but would there be any something like that would be useful for marketing or possible?
For right now, what we had decided to do was use the blog as our as a launching pad for news. We do have a news category on the forums. If the blog really settles in as a good outlet, I fully anticipate seeing it merged into the main website and better addressing it. But
I'm just kind of thinking from the person who's interested in OpenEMR and Googles and starts, you know, inquiring about it and different channels. I mean, always in marketing for my company, I always think about different channels. I mean, obviously, you know, you want to see how much time investment and if there's any cost and is it ROI. So I understand that the first approach being blog makes sense to me. The forums obviously are populated, so it makes sense to start that medium. But that's the only reason I asked the question. I understand what your answer is, and I don't know the answer. I'm just entertaining a thought.
And that there's, you know, with the new website, I feel like we've got some room to experiment and, you know, continue to innovate how we present the information to our users and interested parties. I've put a lot of effort in the last year to really unify the brand. And I feel like now that it's starting to really become a cohesive unit, we've got some room to experiment. And, you know, maybe there is something on the homepage. We need a section that pulls from a few different channels, you know. But I feel like with the new website, we've got some room to explore and investigate and tinker. So definitely, like, not a no. You know, we just keep finding new channels to promote Open EMR. I think you'd be hard pressed to find anybody that doesn't want to continue the spreading the good news.
I do. This is Matthew here. I do have a kind of a lousy answer, but an answer nonetheless. We put all the events and presentations on the wiki, but as we've learned from the success stories, that stuff's really hard to find as a person just clicking around. But I think one of the good ideas that Robert had is we should start converting a lot of those success stories and big events to the blog. So I have a feeling we're coming down to a solution. It's just going to be a matter of time and measuring impacts of clicks and, you know, viewership and everything. But yeah, and then everybody, if you haven't seen the website recently, go check it out. Robert updated it again. It just keeps getting better. I think Brady said that we are spoiled to have such a nice website, and I couldn't agree more. So yeah, make sure you go check it out once again. Robert's been putting some real effort into it.
I appreciate the compliment. I will say the lead faculty, the kind of the faculty mentor from VCU that pushed the event, you know, everybody's going to have that faculty member he's the, I think the chair of the like something way high up in engineering and the College of Medicine. And he, during our, the welcome meeting, made a point during my presentation of like giving the website a shout out. He's like, "Oh, you guys have a great website. Everybody should go check it out." And I was like, very, very proud moment. I looked over, I was like, "Oh, thank you. I appreciate that." So, I think the website is getting noticed, which is good, because we want to attract those, you know, people who are looking for new information. Getting the return customers easy. Getting the new customers, or not customer, but client, or I don't know, whatever the word is. Getting the new ones are difficult.
Interested party.
Yeah, interested parties. There we go. Consumer. Getting the new consumer.
Yep, the pair of eyeballs. All right, so the next topic in marketing is the press kit. So actually, Asher maybe didn't even realize it, but he sparked a great idea for a physical kit that we can use at conferences if we have a booth, or just in general to kind of get the word out about OpenEMR, especially to folks that may not have internet access. So just a 2-second overview. Basically, this would be a disk or a unformattable USB stick that would include the software and video webinars that one could watch to understand how to use the software. And then we were thinking it would come along with a brochure that's like well-designed, like our website, that overviews the system. So this is a very early on idea. I believe it will probably be most useful at the conferences. And so this is a good segue, because that's our next section is conference outreach. And I believe that having that kit will be essential for if we are at HIMSS this coming year and we have a booth. So does anybody have any updates on HIMSS and, you know, are we going? I guess is the question.
Do you know where it is? I think it's in Vegas, right?
It's where it normally is, right? Or is it?
No, it was in Orlando last year.
Oh, okay. I've never been.
It's Vegas this year. Are you sure it's Vegas?
I want to join HIMSS. I mean, I want to do my graduate studies in informatics. So I will likely want to attend. And if that means starting to put aside some money so I can get over there, because I know it won't be a cheap trip. That's on my radar. You know, it's right in, you know, I mean, informatics is in the name, so it's what I want to do. So I'll be hopefully there. I don't know about anybody else.
Would you consider kind of doing, you know, almost taking a page out of Senna's book with that metal company? You know, they kind of did a sub booth area. Would you consider doing something like that? Or are you mainly interested in going just kind of for your own benefits, which is totally acceptable? I'm just asking.
I'd run a booth. I'd run an outright booth if we had one. Forget just a sub booth. I would do either. Sub booth with metal. I think that was a great opportunity for us. I'd run a booth. I feel like we would need more than one person. I couldn't do it by myself. We would need probably three people there, including myself. I'm definitely interested, but I wouldn't want to do it by myself, because then I don't get the opportunity to go to anything. If we have a team there, then it becomes easier for, you know, us to kind of diversify and work the crowd a little bit better and check out the events that really interest us personally while still maintaining the OpenEMR presence. So yes, interesting.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way I worded the question, because I felt kind of bad asking it. I said it's totally acceptable if you don't want to, because you need to go there to develop your own, you know, personal connections and networking. So I think it would only make sense if there's others there that could kind of hold shifts, and I might be able to do it. So I could possibly look into that and talk with my wife and everything. If anybody else is interested, let's start like maybe thinking about this and sending emails around planning. But yeah, I don't think it's fair if it's just you. That would take up all of your time.
It's not even that it's fair. I know from having very good friends that do big conferences, you can't not do it with one person. It's just not effective. So, but we've got some time, but let's not push it too far. So it's definitely, we'll reach out offline, Matthew. You know, you're only in LA now, so it's really not that hard to drag you out to Vegas.
Yeah, this is like a driving distance with me. So, all right, cool. Anybody else have any conferences in their pipeline, or, you know, hearing about things that are interesting with respect to events that we can attend? All right, then we'll move on to raising funds. And this section I'll actually start off with because I have some exciting news. We are accepted into the Open Collective. So Open Collective is a new and hip way to raise money for open source projects. And it's no different than any others you've seen. I just mentioned that it's new and hip because for some reason, web open source technologies like React and Preact and different like JavaScript libraries are really benefiting, like seriously benefiting, making like, I think I saw the one project bringing in like 20,000 a year just from Open Collective. So that was pretty cool. So we got onboarded, and if you look at our repo on GitHub, it has some donate badges, and it shows our contributors, and it has a link if you want to back the project. So it's really exciting. I need to finish setting up the profile. I can't log in for some reason. I think their website's still a little bit new.
What's a backer? Because we have one backer. What does that mean? That's
it just
cool.
Means
that, we already have somebody.
Yeah, I don't think that's a real thing. I think that might just be a bug. Let me look. Maybe I'm wrong.
You have the person.
While you look that up, I know I've basically hogged a ton of the time, but it is approaching 10, and we do have a few items to get to. So I feel bad saying but that, considering how much I've talked during this meeting, but...
Go ahead. All right. You contributed $10, so you actually have a... You have your
first it's
contributor.
Dr. Arnob.
Yeah.
It's Dr. Arnob. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Very
so
cool.
That's good. So, and then I also signed us up for Flatter and Salt and Libera Pay, but I need a credit card. So, Steven, I'm going to bug you about that. All right. That's all on the subject of raising funds. Does anybody else have anything with respect to raising funds? All right, conflict of interest policy. Has everybody read and signed the new conflict of interest policy?
I'll make this easy. I'll follow up. And if you haven't, I will reach out to you directly and we will have this solved by the next meeting. I mean it this time.
Okay. And what's the status of the OSI?
Well, real quick, the next two items, can we push to the end and speak about those privately?
Works for me. All right. Do you want to hop on to like a specific item then, Robert? Or
well, we're just down to new business next.
Oh, okay. I was wondering, like, did you want to? Okay. So it looks like we have an analytics committee. So that way we can really prioritize our bigger analytics roadmap. I'm assuming that involves John. So John, if I'm making the right assumption here, do you want to maybe kick off that discussion, and with the 2 minutes we have left, can you maybe use one of them to talk about the initiative of this committee?
Yeah, I'll keep it really brief. So this is actually a call for participation in just a informal group, call it a committee, to prioritize analytics development in OpenEMR in 2018. So anybody interested, please drop me a line and be happy to talk to you about it.
All right, nice and brief. I appreciate that. And looks like openemr.org, which is not our domain. Remember, we're open-emr.org.
We should move this to a private section as well, Matthew.
Okay. Then I think we're ready to adjourn then, if that's cool with you guys.
Yep. So I'll stop recording.